The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Halloween is just around the corner, so visit BubbleGenius.com and pick up their Bath-O-Lantern Pumpkin Shea Butter Soap. So good, you'll want to eat it. Their jack-o'-lantern soap is colored and scented with real pumpkin, with the added punch of clove essential oil to make it pumpkin pie-y. Shea butter makes it extra luxurious. Only $6 at BubbleGenius.com. But if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Hey, now, Ken, we all know that the moon is not made of green cheese.
Yes, that's true, Harry.
But what if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
What?
I know I would. Heck, I'd have seconds. And then polish it off with a tall, cool Budweiser. I would do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey! How about this mad cow disease?
What about it?
Well, it was here for a while, then it went away. Your thoughts?
Yes, yes. It was what was in the news for a while, and then it disappeared from the news.
Good point. Geez, I hope I never get it. Hey, what about this? If you had a choice between being the top scientist in your field or getting mad cow disease, what would it be?
Well, of course I would choose to be the top scientist in my field.
Oh, good. I was worried you'd choose mad cow.
Get rocked in Rocktober. Get rocked in Rocktober. Get rocked in Rocktober. Get rocked in Rocktober.
Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Tuesday, October 13, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Hello.
Hi. We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best goddamn soap in the world. Also brought to you by Charles Bowen and the Bowen Law Group. Need a lawyer? Better call Bo. Or you can just go to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob Chez or click the link in the podcast page. Takes it right there. You can't miss it. Okay. Got a big Tuesday show for you. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. By the way, before I forget, just a brief programming note. On Thursday, we're going to be welcoming Charles Johnson from Little Green Footballs. He'll be coming on the show for the first segment. So we are looking forward to that. Charles, we're going to be talking to Charles about the new Dan Rather documentary that's coming up. And if you don't know that Charles's original claim to fame on the internet was, he was the guy who debunked the whole Dan Rather thing, where Dan Rather claimed that George W. Bush was monkeying with his military deferment and all that stuff. So we're going to get a full scoop from Charles on Thursday. Okay. By the way, make sure to support the show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. We are holding steady at $3,600 and $3,625. Just over $3,600. Holding steady.
Let's light up that wheelchair. We are the Love Network.
Also, make sure to follow us at facebook.com/Bob and Chez. Thank you. Okay, so the first big Democratic debate is tonight. And that's about all I have to say about that.
Thanks a lot. Good night. Thanks a lot for joining us.
It's, it's going to be Hillary Clinton. It'll be Bernie Sanders. It'll be Martin O'Malley. It'll be Lincoln Chafee.
Yep. Feel the chafe.
Feel the chafe. That's right. Feel the chafe. Ow. You know, when
everybody,
I feel...
America's feeling the chafe.
So there's going to be, five people in the debate tonight, I think. Five. Oh, who else is the other one? Sanders. Oh, Jim Webb is the other one.
Feel the web.
I'm feeling the Webmentum.
Webmentum. Right.
Webmentum. Jesus. Yeah, so Donald Trump said that the Democratic debate is going to be really, really boring. And you know what? I hope he's right. I hope Donald Trump is exactly right. I hope this debate tonight is like watching paint dry. Because in a relative sense, it has to be compared to the poop-flinging monkeys on the GOP side.
Right. And it's not important that it be riveting television.
Exactly.
It's important that it be informative television.
Yes, exactly.
We have a major problem in this country right now where politics is basically interchangeable with entertainment. That's why we have clowns like Donald Trump who are doing so well.
Right. And Ben,
they're entertaining.
And Ben Carson, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, who's just been every day. It's like part of his schedule is to, you know,
Say something crazy.
He just wakes up in the morning, brushes his teeth, puts his clothes on, and then says something crazy. That's like a day in the life of Ben Carson. And it's been for the last 10 days or so. Because everything he says is so crazy that it out-crazies the previous thing. Makes you forget the previous crazy thing that he said.
Right.
Like the thing that he said, which we're going to talk about in the second segment. The thing that he said about the end times made me completely forget about the Popeyes thing from last week. It's like, there was a Popeyes thing? Jesus. So this guy's nuts. But the fact is, and we've been talking about this over and over again for the last several weeks, and I hope the Democrats are paying attention to this show. Because we know what we're talking about. We know we're right. That the Democrats only need to not act like a-holes.
Yeah.
And they will win. So anyone who's expecting, like, fireworks tonight, I hope the Democrats disappoint you. I hope it is. It's going
to
be.
Yeah, it's fun to watch CNN try to push this thing, too. Like, it's going to be, an MMA match.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to be any of that.
Hillary, Ronda Rousey Clinton's going to come out and just, you know, armbar Bernie Sanders into submission.
And the whole thing, I mean, it's going to be 2.5 hours long. It's going to be a 2.5 hour debate between these five Democrats. And that's going to leave a big opening for someone to do something crazy, but they're not. They're not. They're just not. Anyone who's expecting that Bernie Sanders is going to go after Hillary or Hillary's going to go after Bernie or whatever, they're both going to go after O'Malley or Chafee and O'Malley is going to gang up on Jim Webb. None of that's going to happen because what we're doing now and what CNN's doing and what some of the Republicans are doing is superimposing, again, the poop-flinging monkey theorem onto the Democrats.
Yeah.
And I've got my fingers crossed that they're not going to take the bait. They're just not going to go there.
Yeah. And Trump is already saying that he's going to live tweet this thing, even though he says, as if it's a bad thing, that it's going to be boring.
Yeah.
It's going to be really boring because, you know, I'm not in it. Well, you know what? That's what we need.
Jesus, the Republican frontrunner is going to be live tweeting the Democratic debate.
Yeah, because this is where we are. That's what the Republicans are now. Yeah.
And it's going to be all just his normal crap. Look at how low energy he is. Look how weak they are.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same nonsense. Trump said, at the request of many, and even though I expect it to be a very boring 2 hours, I will be covering the Democrat debate live on Twitter. Boy, he's been fully indoctrinated into the GOP. Democrat debate. Someone should inform CNN that despite spending millions of dollars on graphics, it is not the Democratic debate, rather the Democrat D. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. He's always emphasizing that it should be the Democrat debate, even though it's not. It's the Democratic Party.
Right.
And the word Democratic is not an adjective referencing the kind of party it is.
Right.
The Democratic is a proper name of the party. So he's really like effing that chicken is what he's doing. He's effing the Democrat chicken.
This is the guy. The reason that this guy is in the place that he is we expect politics to be entertainment.
Yeah. Now
he's the logical conclusion of everything that we've done up to this point.
Yeah, and imagine, you know what? I just said now, like as if the entertainment side of politics just started with the emergence of Trump. I remember, what was it? Maybe it wasn't 2004. It was 2008. Although it could be 2004 too. one of the networks, probably Fox News, introduced like the dinging bell and the buzzer and really made it seem like a game show.
Yeah, because you've got to turn it into a game show, exactly.
Yeah, they just had all the sound effects going when people are able to talk and when they're supposed to stop
talking. They play the Jeopardy music when they ask a question.
Yeah, that's right. They you know, they have the whole array of Price is Right music at their disposal. So they can just play that any time. I mean, my God. And that's really when it started. That's really when they started turning it into just a big effing joke. It's like, all right, here we go. Here's... Oh, let's bring in Donald Trump here. Donald Trump hails from New York City. He's got orange hair. We don't quite know where it starts or ends. Donald Trump.
Did you hear what Taibbi called Donald Trump today?
No.
An orangutoid. Love that.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I also noticed Friday night Bill Maher got in another orangutan cut on Donald Trump, which I know Donald Trump loves that. Anyway, so that's going to happen tonight, and I don't imagine that our Thursday show will feature a lot of clips of, like, fireworks and people clawing each other's eyes out and
no.
Declarative remarks, lots of superlative. No one's going to do that. Anyone expecting that, again, you're going to be vastly, vastly disappointed. The debate tonight starts at, the coverage starts on CNN at 8 p.m. Eastern, and then the debate gets underway at 8:30. And that goes through till 11.
Well, what's sad is that you can hear in sort of Trump's tone of voice as he discusses this that he believes that what's happening on the Republican side, certainly insofar as his candidacy goes, it's a good thing. You know, they're bringing excitement to politics. That's what it's supposed to be. It's not.
No,
it's not supposed to be exciting. Not everything in life is supposed to be exciting. Sometimes you actually have to have the medicine instead of the spoonful of sugar with it.
Yeah, I mean it's basically grabassery. It's foolishness that they're doing. It has nothing to do with making it entertaining. I mean, it is entertaining on a certain level, but it shouldn't be as entertaining in the way that they're making it entertaining.
Yeah. And the story that's really just infuriated the piss out of me today is the news that Donald Trump is going to host Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah, no, what the F is that?
First of all, let's keep in mind that NBC promised it was cutting all ties with Trump.
Right.
After the Mexicans comment, the Mexicans are rapists comment. And, you know, it's not really all that surprising because NBC worked sort of in collusion with Donald Trump back in 2011 when he was talking about, you know, he's fiddling with the idea of running for president. And... you know, Lawrence O'Donnell was the one who first brought this up. And when he did, it was just like a light came on over my head. Mm-hmm. He said that NBC Entertainment in Burbank knew whether or not Donald Trump was going to be available to run for president.
Yeah.
Because they knew whether he was contracted for another season of The Apprentice. Mm-hmm. All that time, they held that from NBC News. They kept it away because they, you know, they love the story. The story's big. The story's good. You know, we were enjoying it.
Yeah.
And they colluded with him, which is just horrible.
Oh yeah.
And now for all of the horrible things this guy has done, they're just up. You know what? Ratings. Ratings are going to be huge.
Huge.
So they're going to invite this f***ing clown, this dangerous clown, on the air and allow him to not just be in like one sketch like Hillary was, but to actually host the show.
Right.
And that's just fucking revolting.
It's basically going to be a 90-minute ad for Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I think Frank Conniff had the best tweet in reaction to that. Frank Conniff, of course, TV's Frank from Mystery Science Theater, also the co-host of the John Fugelsang show on SiriusXM. He said, so cool that Trump is hosting SNL. It's the job of satire to make racist hate mongers look like good sports who can laugh about themselves.
Yeah.
Great, of course. That's what it's all about. They're taking a racist hate monger, and the whole thing is going to be about softening him and showing his the self-deprecating side of Trump.
Yeah, I would love to believe that they will hang him out to dry. You know, I would love to believe that. I would love nothing more than that. I, you know, if Seth Meyer were still there, maybe they would. Mm.
But that's, you know, or Tina Fey. But that's, I don't think that's going to happen now. Yeah. And I think that, as always, you know, the audience, the studio audience is going to applaud because the sign lights up and tells them to applaud. And it's just, yeah, it's embarrassing. It really, really is.
Yeah. Well, it's, again, it's another black mark on SNL. And just showing how they've sort of been falonized.
Mm-hmm.
There's still some funny stuff on SNL.
Sure.
I'm not going to be one of these Grinches who said, SNL sucks. It's sucked ever since 1977. No. I mean, there is some really good stuff on there. The problem is that they've just become toothless.
Yeah, well, let's see if they have, you know, some of the things that they've had happen over the years where some cast members will refuse to appear. I'd love to see that happen. I don't think it will.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that it's a new generation, and that generation doesn't sort of think that way.
Oh, yeah.
But it would be awesome. It would. But, you know, it's just, like you said, they're going to soften him. They're going to put him on the air, and he's going to get to, you know, make fun of his own reputation and his own personality, and he's going to come out smelling like f***ing roses.
Which is just a tragedy. All right. Before we take a break, I thought we were pretty much done with Kevin McCarthy. But Colbert last night found, I guess, a clip of Kevin McCarthy that... It was basically a gaffe, and I had never heard this one before. And so this is the first time I had heard this gaffe.
We fought hard to win this majority and turn this country around, and this will be a best step footstep for...
it's a best step foot.
Best step foot.
I want a t-shirt that says that.
All right, we're going to take a short break and come back and dive into... Jeez, this Ben Carson thing from the other day. Back right after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the after party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Yeah, welcome back to the show today. Thanks for joining us. Here's a great review of the show that we got through Facebook. I think,
that guy.
This was on the Huffington Post. This is one of my favorite reviews of the show ever. It says here, Griffin K. Golasurki says, the podcast is the worst. This podcast is the worst podcast that exists on the liberal side. I encourage everyone to listen to any podcast for as long as you can bear. Why? This will give you a new bar in which to compare other bad podcasts to. T-O-O.
Yeah.
Everything about it sucks. The style, the substance, the analysis, and most importantly, the hosts. Boring. All right.
Well, we are boring. We're totally boring.
Oh, that just made me laugh. I love reviews like that.
We should totally bring him on. Let him host. We'll just sit around and eat popcorn.
Don't leave a review like that on iTunes, but... You know, don't do deliberate reviews like this, but the ones that are sincere, the ones that really dig in and take some time to compose, those are the reviews that I really, really live for. It's like my bread and butter, or my various breads and various butters.
Right.
All right, thanks to Griffin K. Golasurki for the stellar review on Facebook. Okay, so Ben Carson... got a couple of Ben Carson stories here. I mean, he says so much now that we can't possibly cover all of it. Plus, it'd be, you know what? Maybe Griffin only listened to like one of our Ben Carson segments and heard me talking like Ben Carson.
Could be.
I thought, wow, this is really boring. I mean, they even play lullaby music in the background. Well, we're not. It's Ben Carson. Not really us, but, you know, it's a bit. That's a possibility. Okay, so Ben Carson, you know, sometimes with surgeons, especially really, really accomplished surgeons, they tend to get a god complex because they, I don't know if you ever watched The Nick on Cinemax, that show about, like, it's set at, like, at the turn of the century, and it's about a surgeon played by, what's his name?
Clive Owen.
Clive Owen. And he does the speech at the beginning of the first episode where he talks, basically how he talks about he's in battle against God. God's taking life and he's trying to prevent God from... And so you get, I think a lot of surgeons just get that, where they're just like, I'm fighting you, God, and I can stop this because I'm godlike. I can save lives. And that's certainly the case, I think, with Ben Carson. He said the other day that not only are the end times on their way, basically the end of days, the Armageddon is right around the corner.
The idea that anyone says that, and certainly someone running for president, the end times are on their way.
the apocalypse.
Superstitious mumbo jumbo.
That's right. That's right. I mean, even
God,
really
we're doomed country.
Even purely religious people often will recognize the fact that Revelations was metaphor, like an extended metaphor written by persecuted Christians in the early days of Christianity. It was a lot of code language. That's really not the way it's going to happen. I mean, I hate to break it to you. It's not going to happen like that. Because if you know anything about the Bible and the context in which it was written when Christians were routinely being persecuted and executed and so on. And so they were living underground. And the only way they could send messages back and forth and to communicate with each other was through coded language. And out of that sprung the Book of Revelations.
No, man. You're wrong. No,
it's real.
You have to take it 100%.
That's
literally.
Right.
It's completely literal.
Well, you know, Ben Carson also said that the Garden of Eden and, you know, the Book of Genesis happened literally that way.
How did this guy become a scientist?
I don't know. It's astonishing that he's allowed to perform brain surgery on people. So not only does he believe that the end times are just around the corner, Ben Carson actually believes that he can prevent the end times from happening. He can actually do that. Ben Carson has the power to stop God from implementing the end times. Is that something you implement?
Of course
implement
he does.
The end
you know why? Because he's going to just point to another civilization and say, go ahead, kill them.
Yeah, kill those, but that'll be end time for them, not for us.
Just like he did at Popeye's.
I'll say, man, I was at a Popeye's organization one day. It was right after I had breakfast at a McDonald's organization. Later that afternoon, got hungry, so I'm going to go to a Popeye's organization. And in walks the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And I say, hey, you Four Horsemen, you don't want me. You want the Middle Eastern people behind me. You can go annihilate them. And suddenly the Four Horsemen are like... Even the horses are like... I don't know how horses snore. I guess they snore the same way people do. He's just going to completely put the Four Horsemen to sleep. So here's what he said, actually. Here's the actual Ben Carson quote. He was asked about the end of days. You could guess that we are getting closer to that, he said when asked about the end of days. The retired neurosurgeon then argued that if the world were truly approaching its destruction, he would do his best to reverse that course as president. I think we have a chance to certainly ameliorate the situation, he said. I would always be shooting for peace. I wouldn't just take a fatalistic view of things. So, but he actually believes that he can stop the end times. First of all, there's not going to be any end times until the sun explodes. There's just not. The Earth is always going to be here. The other planets are always going to be here. There'll be no end of the universe. But for Ben Carson to actually believe that, one, that there is going to be an end of the world, and that he's the only candidate who can actually stop the end of the world.
Right, because he's going to spring into action. He's definitely that kind of guy. When I think of Ben Carson, I immediately think action hero. Ben Carson can save us.
Here come.
He's legitimately f***ing crazy.
He is really, really crazy. And, you know, his advisors actually said that it's working, that he should keep going. It's a New York Times piece the other day. For a long time, Ben Carson's capable. The article is titled, Ben Carson Finds Momentum in Provocative Remarks. See, this is, I mean, again, this is legitimizing the whole thing.
Exactly. They use the term provocative remarks instead of fucking crazy.
Yeah. Blurting crazy shit.
Yeah, he didn't make provocative, those are not provocative remarks.
No.
That's mental patient raving.
Yes, exactly. When on one hand you say that I would, if there was an active shooter, I would charge the shooter. I don't care if I get shot. And then a couple of days later, he says, well, I was at a Popeye's. Yeah. So what? What are you talking about? What do you even mean?
You cannot take these people seriously. And every journalist who does is engaging in a dereliction of his or her duty.
That's right. This is a piece written by Trip Gabriel for the New York Times. This is in the 12th edition. For a long time, Ben Carson's campaign team feared that his habit of inflammatory remarks would sink his presidential hopes. They sent him to media training in Texas. Well, that worked. That was money well spent.
Yeah.
Because he's totally
media
improved.
Media training in Texas. Wow.
So here's we have exclusive audio of the before and after of Ben Carson's media training. Here's Ben Carson before the media training. Good day. I'm Ben Carson. I intend to stop the end times by taking the four horsemen of the apocalypse on the sleep train to Snoozeville. Climb aboard. There's plenty of room for them horses. We got some oats, some apples over there in the corner. Feed your horse. We got nice big stables with fluffy hay. You take a nice long nap. We got sleeping berths for all of you four horsemen. Weary horseman, I know you want to take a nap. Play some Enya music, make you go to sleep before we have the end times. All right, see, that was the that was before. Here's Ben Carson after media training. This is exclusive audio, right? Hello, I'm Ben Carson. I was at a Popeye's restaurant. I was ordering some fried chicken and a little bit of mashed potatoes. Guy comes in and says, hey, I'm gonna rob you. I said, get out of my way. I have to eat lunch. I got low blood sugar. Better eat before I pass out. Ben Carson.
Now, see, I don't know. You can tell the difference between the two, but it's money well spent.
So since then, the candidate pledged to police his words. This is back before the media training. But ever since Mr. Carson said on September 20th that he did not think a Muslim should be president, then refused to retract the statement amid a furious reaction, his campaign has watched grassroots support grow and donations pour in. And advisors have backtracked, deciding in the words of one to, quote, let Carson be Carson. Mr. Carson, a retired neurosurgeon seeking the Republican nomination, has seemed lately to be a candidate unbound. Jesus Christ. He has uttered remarks on policy and national events, some divisive and some seemingly uninformed, that have led commentators on the right as well as on the left to question his fitness for the presidency. Remember, a would-be president of the United States had no idea whatsoever what the debt ceiling was, nor why we raise it once a year. He thought it was about the budget deficit. Can you imagine that kind of ignorance in the Oval Office making decisions? But then again, you know, I'm just a racist. I should mention that,
did
too.
Did you see David Brooks's column today?
Yeah, wasn't he talking about, he was just
where
completely,
he finally came around?
Yeah, just finally figuring out that a bunch of crazy people are running the Republican Party.
That these people are nuts.
Yeah.
You know, there are no longer any intellectuals in the party.
Nope.
Certainly not in positions of authority. In fact, exactly the opposite. The party is run by, is just a victim to rampant anti-intellectualism.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's basically everything's being dumbed down in favor of the people who love that crap.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, it remains to be seen whether or not they even decide an election. Certainly they're going to decide on the Republican nomination.
Right.
At the national level, I don't think the general election is going to be decided on the crazy people who like it when Republicans blurt out stupid things.
Mm.
At least I hope that. I hope we haven't gone that far over the ledge, but it's entirely possible. We're going to take another break and come back and talk about the other thing. I mentioned that I'm clearly racist for making fun of Ben Carson, so we're going to talk about that after a break, back with more show right after this.
Hello, Bob here. Last year, I discovered Tweaked Audio for the greatest earbuds ever, and I can honestly say I'm totally spoiled now. I can't imagine using anything else. They're quite literally the finest earbuds available. Go now to our website, bobseska.com, and click the banner for Tweaked Audio for the best in earbuds and earphones. Tweaked Audio is about comfort and quality for every ear in a variety of colors, including natural wood grain. They come with a lifetime warranty and free shipping to anywhere in the world. And Tweaked Audio's earbuds and earphones will work with all of your devices. Available in mic'd or unmic'd versions, they're designed to reduce outside noise, and they're perfect for both music and talk. Hear us and everything better with Tweaked Audio earbuds. You'll like the prices, too. And if you use the code BANDC, that's BANDC, at checkout, you'll save 30% off the listed price. Nearly one-third off on comfortable quality earbuds, warranted for life with free shipping anywhere. Use the code BANDC to save big on quality earbuds. Just click the banner for Tweaked Audio at bobseska.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
The second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link below the logo at BobSeska.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing. You get to go shopping, and it helps support the show. Thank you in advance for that. All right, this is maybe my favorite story of the week. In response to the open carry nonsense in Texas,
oh yeah,
students have decided to open carry dildos.
Yeah,
dildos.
And I love how offended the rednecks are.
Yeah,
carrying
that's right.
A weapon, carrying something that kills people, is not offensive. But somebody carrying a dildo,
yeah, that's right.
That's verboten.
Yeah, you can't have that. But
think of the children.
Yeah. And by the way, I finally wrote it up for Salon about the whole thing we were talking about last time on the show with regards to repealing the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at the comments yet, and I can't wait to look at the comments because I'm sure the gun fetishists, the gun culture people are all there just
definitely
freaking out. I can't wait to check that out. But here's a story out of Texas. Texans will soon be able to carry concealed firearms into public universities, but some will come out swinging with other weapons, dildos. Of course, we love dildos on the show.
Strap-on dildos. Dildo. Dildo. It's a penis. Artificial penis. Dildos. Dildo. Dildo. Damn dildo. Strap-on dildos. Dildos.
Thank you, Dan. On the first day of next fall semester, University of Texas at Austin students and supporters are planning to strap on sex toys in protest of the state's new campus carry law, which goes into effect August 1st, 2016. The movement's rallying cry, "Cocks, not Glocks." This is just this is just a great idea. I mean, like I said, I mean, I'm no activist, but as far as activism goes, this is pretty effing clever. It went viral on Sunday, and gun nuts were already getting heated on social media. Of course they were. Protest organizer Jessica Jin said she received death threats over the event and has alerted Austin police. Well, that goes without saying.
It's kind of silly. It's so wonderfully third-wave feminist. But you know what? At this point, whatever stand you can take against guns on campus legally, then by all means do.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, I don't see anything that's necessarily feminist about this. I just think it's like, it's putting something obscene and innocuous in place of something that's obscene and deadly.
This is true.
So that kind of makes sense. Jen and her plastic willy-wielding allies see the spectacle of a shaft as an effective way to show that more guns do not necessarily make for a safer campus. Quote, "I need this proliferation of dildos to offer people a visual representation of what it would be like if we all carried guns. It should look ridiculous to you, then that is the point. This is America. If guns and bloodshed don't wake people up, and public celebration of sexuality may just do the trick." Yeah, of course it always does.
Strap-on dildos.
Yes,
dildo. Dildo. It's a penis. Artificial penis.
Yeah.
Dildos. Dildo. Dildo. Damn dildo. Strap-on dildos. Dildos.
Dan likes saying the word dildo.
He does.
Dan Bedondi. All right, so moving along here, Fox News has already started in about the basically countering all attacks on Ben Carson. And what they're trying to do, this is so clever. This is so clever. They're using, they're cleverly taking the left's arguments in support of Barack Obama and turning them around in defense of Ben Carson. So any attacks on Ben Carson, especially that GQ article we were talking about last week, is clearly racist.
Right.
Right. So they did a whole segment on Bill O'Reilly about the F Ben Carson article by Drew McGarry.
I love it. McGarry rules.
And said if that had been written, of course it never would have been written in GQ. But if it had been written in GQ, then about Barack Obama, the left would have erupted in accusations of racism. Which I don't necessarily agree with that, unless there was something that was overtly racist about it. Like, well, here's an example. Here's an example where I think the left kind of has to be careful. And I'm not necessarily saying this is full-on racist, but it can kind of give fuel to that accusation. I've been seeing a meme going around Facebook with Ben Carson's face on an Uncle Ben's box of rice.
Yeah.
Little bit. Little bit right there.
You bet. Yeah, you need to, just for the sake of averting accusations of hypocrisy, you really need to go out of your way to make sure that you do nothing that appears like it might be race-based.
Yeah, and this was, I saw it pop up.
Because there's so much material there without ever resorting to, obviously without resorting to anything having to do with race. And it's not about race anyway. I'd vote, you know, I voted for a black man twice. I'll vote for a black man, a black woman, I don't care. I will not vote for somebody who's legitimately f***ing crazy.
Yeah, and Ben Carson is legitimately crazy.
He is.
The image actually comes up, and it's really well done as far as Photoshop goes. But it says, Uncle Ben's half-baked ideas and theories, always cooked up in a cracked pot. It says, the quote next to his face says, crazy every time, chock full of pure insanity. Little bit. You know what? Honestly, if that had been Barack Obama's face on there and had been like Uncle Barack's.
Yeah, don't take the chance. Yeah. It's not worth it.
Yeah. Just a little bit in that realm. Yeah. We just don't want to go there. But suffice to say, even something like that GQ piece, which is not racist in any way, shape, or form, it's just calling Ben Carson out for being crazy. This is evidently racist, according to Bill O'Reilly and Eric Bolling.
Well, of course it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's because Fox's second raison d'etre in this world after putting out propaganda is defending itself from accusations of putting out propaganda.
Right. Exactly right. Here's Bill O'Reilly and Eric Bolling, you know, getting all butthurt about people criticizing Ben Carson.
Ben Carson were a liberal politician and GQ went after him that way, which of course they would never do. Cries of racism would fill the air.
Boy, he really loves the sound of his own voice.
Oh,
cries, cries of racism would fill the air. What do they call that? Vocal fry? Is that what?
Vocal fry, vocal, yeah.
Cries of racism would fill the air.
Yeah, and he's got to end everything with the upward lil. So it's Barack Obama.
What an a-hole.
Yeah. I live in Southern California. In fact, I do the vocal fry, but that's mostly because my cords are shot.
So. Ben Carson were a liberal politician, and GQ went after him that way, which, of course, they would never do. Cries of racism would fill the air.
Oh, shut the f*** up.
Yeah.
Shut the f*** up. You know what? When you say that you don't like somebody's policies, that's not racist. When you say that somebody's really legitimately kind of crazy when they say crazy things, also not racist. It's racist when you draw a picture of a black man so that he looks like a witch doctor and it says, go back to Kenya. That's fucking racist.
Yep, absolutely.
And again, this is what it's all about. Fox is defending itself and defending its viewers against, quite frankly, very rational criticism.
Yeah, exactly. And when liberals are standing outside a Ben Carson rally holding Curious George dolls that have like Ben Carson's name on them, then okay, accuse them of being racist all you want, because that's what happened in 2008. I'll never forget that video. And it was really the start of the Tea Party, all those lines outside the Sarah Palin rallies, with horrendously racist people.
Yeah.
And the one distinctively that I remember is the one guy with the Curious George doll and saying it was little Obama.
Yeah.
I remember that distinctly. The whole Bertha thing is inherently racist.
I mean, the fact that we're having this discussion right now is it infuriates me.
Yeah.
Because we shouldn't be having it. That Fox News has no, doesn't even have a foothold in claiming that they're the same, that there's some sort of equivalence in how Barack Obama has been treated by the right and how Ben Carson is being treated by the left.
Yeah. There's just no way.
Fucking way.
No equivalence whatsoever.
Cries of racism would fill the air. Or am I wrong? You're now bullying in Rivera.
You're wrong.
Wouldn't it be crazy?
Yeah, he's totally wrong. Of course, we'll finish that question for you. Yeah, you're absolutely wrong.
Let's bring in Eric Bolling, one of the stupidest people alive.
Yeah, that's right. Well, now what he's done is he's packaged their little debates from the five into a segment on the O'Reilly Factor, where Bolling and Geraldo Rivera go at each other, and it's great ratings, and it always ends up making it onto Media Matters and so on. And then, so now it's actually a feature. So now we're packaging it, and we're putting shrink wrap around it, and we're going to sell it to the people, sell it to the folks. Folks who see racism filling the air. Jesus. All right, we're going to take a break and come back and wrap up with this right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate it. So let's get back to Bill O'Reilly here and his vocal fry.
Wouldn't it be cries of racism?
Of course it would be cries of racism. If ESPN had a commentator say that about President Obama. Look, the liberal food chain at the very bottom are white males. You can say anything about white males. Only below that level, at the very bottom, are black conservatives.
But I don't understand.
So basically he's saying that you can get away with saying anything about black conservatives. Like, they're fair game.
Right.
You can say whatever you want. You can be completely and flagrantly racist against black conservatives.
Right.
Evidently, I've never heard that rule.
Who cares? It's Eric Bolling. That's the thing. Every time Eric Bolling opens his mouth, some nugget of stupidity comes out.
He's a stupid, stupid, stupid. I mean, you were talking about...
he's a buffoon.
I mean, we could play a series of audio clips for the next 3 hours of Eric Bolling saying racist things.
Absolutely.
Saying stupid things. Saying... abundantly wrong things.
Yeah.
All the time.
President Obama's drinking 40s in the White House.
That's right.
Drinking 40s.
Yep.
God damn, I forgot about that one.
Oh, yeah.
So how?
See, that's racist.
Yeah.
Saying f*** Ben Carson because he's crazy is not racist.
No.
If I read an article that said f*** Barack Obama, I wouldn't think it was racist automatically either.
No.
I really wouldn't.
Remember the cover of, what was it?
Now, I saw something that said, you know, f*** that monkey, Barack Obama. Yes.
Yes, that's racist.
And that's the difference. That's what the right does. That's what the right has spent 7 years doing.
Yeah, I mean, and plus,
when you, I mean, what they're mistaking here is that because of all the terribly and overtly racist things that are said about Barack Obama, there's a natural inclination to take any criticism of Barack Obama and derive some form of racism out of that criticism, because it's like for every one straightforward accusation against Barack Obama, there's like half a dozen racist ones that are driven by some sort of racial bias by white conservatives. So it's no wonder that one thing that might be otherwise a legitimate criticism, you kind of go, well, you know what? There might be a dog whistle there. There might be something motivating that criticism, someone nitpicking because they inherently don't like him because he's an African-American in the White House or whatever. I think that's a valid criticism to kind of look at all Barack Obama criticism and say that it might be motivated by my race. Now, with Ben Carson, I don't see the racist accusation. I just don't see it. There's no one questioning his ethnic origins. There's no one questioning his religion. There's no one questioning whether or not he's a competent surgeon because he's African-American. Or there's nothing African-American that's mentioned about him from the left. It's always just, well, he's just crazy.
Yeah.
He's just, I mean, he's out of his mind. He's out of his depth. He knows nothing about, he doesn't even know anything about running for president, much less actually being president.
Right.
He's shown no indication and no aptitude for that whatsoever. Couldn't talk about with any sort of insight foreign policy. Couldn't talk about that. Now he's botching domestic policy questions. I mean,
and crazy and cluelessness transcend racial boundaries.
Exactly. So show me one instance where, you know, a liberal, a prominent Democrat, has gone, hey, you know what? I don't think he's qualified. It's the black thing. There's none of that. But all we got for years, and it still continues to this day, in fact, the front runner for the Republican nomination is a guy who's key to the entire birther thing, where for all of this time, going back to 2007, Barack Obama is not qualified to be president. Why? Because he was born in Kenya, and he's a Muslim. Wink, wink. You know what that means. Oh, and by the way, his middle name is Hussein. Stop the press, it's Hussein. None of that's going on with Ben Carson. But, you know, Bill O'Reilly and Eric Bowling want you to think it is.
If you're a politician of color, all right, and then on the left, if you criticize a politician of color.
Notice how they're using those words, too. Now we're saying politician of color.
Yeah. How funny is that?
Yeah.
That's a term I don't think you've ever heard on Fox.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically an SJW word.
Yeah. Very much.
And it's not something that you normally hear. They never say, oh, Barack Obama is a president of color.
Exactly, exactly.
Never, ever do they say that.
Then inevitably you're going to get branded a racist. But if you're a conservative politician of color, you're not a, you can do it. I don't get it.
I think that in Dr. Ben Carson's case, the people are not reacting to him as a black
man. This is Geraldo.
Man, I think that
it doesn't matter what color.
The reaction to Dr. Carson is because of ideas like the Garden of Eden is the literal place that existed long, long ago, that there is no such thing as evolution.
Yes, right.
You know, that some of these notions that are quaint in modern life.
Geraldo being so polite.
Yeah.
These notions are quaint, instead of saying what we all want to say, which is they're batshit crazy. They're quaint.
Ben Carson is now Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch's. He's their number one guy.
Yeah.
You know, and so I guarantee you the word has already come on from on high that you do not badmouth Ben Carson.
So what do you think? I mean, do you think Fox News is really getting on the Ben Carson bandwagon because he has the potential to win? Do you think they're choosing their favorite just based on who can win? You know, to me, if I was really
I think he's – Taibbi wrote about this today. I think that he's the best shot that Fox News believes the Republicans have. And he's light years better in Rupert Murdoch's eyes than Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has outfoxed Fox.
That might be.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, too, if it works better for Fox to root for a winner, a potential general election winner, or a potential general election loser. Because I imagine Fox News' ratings have been huge during the Obama years. And if Roger Ailes was any sort of businessman, they would be going for some sort of strategy, to me, at least, to elect Hillary Clinton. To get someone in there who's just going to
who they can just, like, douse with red meat on a nightly basis on that network. Like, they can just go nuts, and their ratings would be huge if Hillary Clinton's elected. So, I mean, it really depends on what drives Fox News Channel. Is it really about ratings and revenue, or is it about ideology, or is it some sort of mixture of the two?
It's also... It's somewhere in between, but I do think that it's mostly about ideology. I think Fox can figure out a way to stay on top
as long as
their person is in office.
Yeah, they didn't do too badly during the Bush years.
Exactly.
All right. So before we wrap up the show, I want to play this this clip. Now, we've been talking here on the show that that Lindsey Graham. Oh, Lindsey is actually a Republican that we can, for lack of a better term, embrace. I mean, if someone put a gun in my head and said you have to vote Republican, let's say in the primary, I might vote for Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
I disagree with him on a variety of issues, but for some reason, and maybe it's the contrast to all the crazy people, to all the poop-flinging monkeys on the Republican side, he's been sounding really, really reasonable lately. And I know I shouldn't be, it's a liberal thing. I'll admit this. It's a liberal thing to be kind of fished in by reasonable sounding conservatives. We just do that. We tend to like that. See also the Pope, who's to me, ultimately, a really, really, really reasonable sounding conservative. So I want to believe that Lindsey Graham is a reasonable human being. And I hope it's somehow infectious to the point where there are more. But here's what Lindsey Graham said. Lindsey Graham was talking about climate crisis. And indeed, Lindsey Graham came out in support of climate science. It's just an unbelievable... This is during a town hall meeting with Republican voters.
How many here believe climate change is real?
He said, how many here believe climate change is real? Republicans! Republicans, clap.
I do too.
Wow.
So for those of you who believe climate change is real, you're going to have to deal with a guy like me who will push a lower carbon economy over time in a business-friendly way.
Jeez, he's going to push for a lower carbon economy.
Yeah.
This is Republican Lindsey Graham. Not only
which of course does not sound insane. Mm-hmm. It's only insane when you put it up against what the rest of the Republican Party has become.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Everything he's saying is completely reasonable.
Yep.
Because the science is there. Only recently did we get a Republican Party that just fucking ignores science.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The great trade-off is energy producers and environmentalists in a room trying to find over a 50-year period a way to go to a lower carbon economy, in the meantime, responsibly exploring for fossil fuels that we own and trying to create alternative energy in every sector of the economy.
Okay, I half agree with that. Yeah. I half agree with that. So, I mean, again, he's a Republican, so he's not going to say everything precisely in line with environmental policy. But, God, can we get this guy and some other Republicans in a room with some Democrats and get some done. Please, and ignore the crackpots. Ignore the Trumps and the Carsons and the Inhofs and the all the crazy Steve Kang and all those people. Crazy caucus. Ignore all of them.
It is, to me, folks, a problem needs to be solved, not a religion. So our people, to my friends on the left who are making this a religion, you're making a mistake. To my friends on the right who deny the science, tell me why. I'm not a scientist. I made a D in science. You know why? Because she'd never given an F. So.
Uh-huh.
But I've been to the Antarctic. I've been to Greenland. I've been to Alaska. And I've heard from people who live in these regions.
What's that?
That's where they have the best looking single men.
Right. All the men from Norland, the strapping Swedes.
How the climate is changing. And when 90% of climatologists tell you it's real, who am I to tell them they don't know what they're talking about?
All right. Yeah. Wow.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
Because then you've got idiots like James Inhofe who believes that they're all wrong and he's right because Jesus. Because Jesus. Because Jesus won't destroy his planet. That's what he's got. And that asshole sits on an environmental committee.
Yeah, I mean, and let's bear in mind, too, that Lindsey Graham is a demon when it comes to foreign policy. But the fact of the matter is that I think the reasonable characters within the political debate would do well to not reject the moderate Republicans, like Lindsey Graham. Because, I mean, let's face it, he's, in comparison, as you said, in comparison to the other crazies, really, really moderate. And this is a big... This is huge news. I mean, to me, this is like headline-making news, the fact that Lindsey Graham came out and said, you know what, I agree with the 99 or whatever it is, 97% of climate scientists who say this is real, and I'm willing to make some compromises to get us to the point where it's not going to destroy us.
You know what it was? For a long time, the Republican Party existed. The party itself, the establishment existed to almost specifically to hold back the crazies in their ranks. That's what William F. Buckley talked about turning your back on them and basically burying their voice.
Yeah.
Making sure that they can't own the party, they can't get a toehold in national politics.
Yep.
The Republicans are now exactly the opposite. The party exists solely to embrace the lunacy of the base.
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. Well, that's why they figured out that the loudest members of the Republican Party are the most desirable ones. The Tea Party people, the people who love screaming. They've discovered that, well, they make the best activists. So we get those people activated, they're going to go around and they're going to knock on doors and they're going to make phone calls for us and they're just going to get really enthused. So we have to pander to them if we want to win. And I still believe that, you know what? We made a lot of fun of Lindsey Graham when he said...
Strength.
Or when he said...
Strength.
But you know what? What he said about the climate crisis took a lot of...
Strength.
In this very serious way.
Yeah. You have to support that. You have no choice now but to support the same people.
Yep. Hey, Postmortem Show coming up next. Sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez if you want to listen to it. See you on Thursday. Bye-bye.
Strength.